Hour number three on this Tag Team Thursday on WBAL. Brett Hollander and the Missile, Kadri Ismail. We'll talk some Yankee destruction coming up in 10 minutes as the Tigers sweep the New York Yankees in the ALCS. We'll also have headlines coming up at 8:35. But right now, let's talk some more Ravens and Houston Texans with John McClain of the Houston Chronicle on the phone with us now. John, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure, guys. Anytime.
Well, let's talk about this Houston team off to a really hot start and then a thumping at home last week, 42-24 to the Green Bay Packers. What happened?
The Packers came in with the proverbial sense of urgency. They were had a lot of turmoil going on behind the scenes. That's unusual for them. They were 2-3. They were desperate to win. The Texans were 5-0. They played like a team that thought it could lose a game and then turn around and win the next week and still have the best record. They didn't play well on either side of the ball. They were pathetic on special teams. They had brain-dead penalties that led to 17 points. And then, of course, they gave up 6 touchdown passes. Aaron Rodgers threw the ball as well as any quarterback I've seen in 36 years of covering the NFL. And 4 of his 6 touchdowns, they were covered well. But Texans did not play great the previous week against the Jets, and the Jets were not good enough to upset them. But, of course, Baltimore is. Now, I've just written a column about when the Texans come out and see the Ravens' defense, they're going to have to do a double take with all those guys that are out, including Corey Redding and Jared Johnson being with other teams. But it is not the same defense. And it's kind of strange to me. I watched all the Cowboys games, and even though all the injuries and the changes, the Ravens are still not giving up a whole lot of points. Not compared with being 26th overall in defense.
It's weird. I think the bend but don't break philosophy, I mean, they're really bending. But you're absolutely right when it comes down to points. But I guess from a Houston Texans standpoint, this looks like the year for this team. Is it a case in which, yeah, you can overcome those bumps in the roads like the Packer games and know it's not necessarily about the regular season, but it's about that postseason run? And by the way, how are things in life like without Brian Cushing as far as what he brought to the table defensively?
There's no way to pin that Green Bay loss on Cushing. Cushing would not have covered the wide receivers. The Packers played 3 wides the entire game. Packers have no running game. This game's going to be entirely different. Of course, first and foremost, they've got to try to contain Ray Rice. They did not miss Cushing as much as they will against the Ravens. He never left the field. He's like Ray Rice, Ray Lewis, that he inspired the defense. He's not a vocal leader, but he was the tone setter for the passion, the intensity. And so they missed that, but he could have covered Ray Rice, or he could have tried to cover Ray. He could have been the anchor in the middle when Ray runs between the tackles. And with him gone, there's no linebacker on the team capable of covering Rice. And I think they're going to have trouble stopping the Ravens' running game when they run between the tackles. And something the last 2 weeks, their great cornerback, Jonathan Joseph, who'd been outstanding, he pulled a growing muscle. And he's practiced a little, then he stayed out of practice, then he played. He did not play well against the Jets. He did not play well against the Packers. He hasn't practiced this week. I expect him to play because they have the bye week coming up, just like the Ravens. But if he's on Torrey Smith's going to tear down the field full speed, and Flacco's going to go deep several times because Joseph has gotten beat deep the last 2 games. They can't put him on Anquan Boldin because their other corner, Kareem Jackson, is not as fast, healthy as Jonathan Joseph is with the growing muscles. So you may see a lot of 2-deep coverage.
We're with John McClain of the Houston Chronicle talking about the Texans and the Ravens coming up on Sunday right here on WBAL. And, John, when you look at Andre Johnson's numbers right now, 25 catches, 358 yards, and just 2 touchdowns through 6 weeks of football, those are not his typical numbers. Is something wrong?
That's what we ask him every day. Are you injured? Nope. He's practiced every day. A lot of people are saying he's 31. He can't get open against man coverage anymore. We ask the coaches all the time. The coaches say, when you're running the ball better, the bootleg game works better, and the bootleg game is what Andre excels on, running crossing routes or running double moves. They say teams are playing with a safety over the top against him, but that's happened in the past. The fact is, Antonio Cromartie of the Jets did a great job against him, a Revis-type job, and Webb would have covered him, and I'm not sure who they'll have on him now. Don't know if it'll be Jimmy Smith or somebody else, but they're going to find that he doesn't have the explosion, or at least he hasn't yet, the explosion that he's had in the past. He had hamstring injuries last year, knee before that, and a groin injury in preseason, and he just doesn't seem to have the same speed.
Looking at Matt Schaub and just this offense without Andre Johnson being the focal point, who would you say is the go-to guy? Is it Owen Daniels?
Owen Daniels led him in receiving last year. They didn't throw as much because T.J. Yates was a rookie over those last six games, and they ran some more to protect him. But Owen Daniels is playing the way he did before he blew out his knee and was a Pro Bowl tight end. He's quick. He gets yards after the catch, gets in and out of his cuts well. Kevin Walter, the other wideout's 31. They've got a rookie receiver you guys will see a lot of, Keyshawn Martin from Michigan State. They made him the kickoff and punt returner, and he's the third receiver. He's carried the ball on three reverses. He's got a lot of ability. They probably should get him the ball more often, get him on the field more often because he can run, and they need somebody who can stretch the field and makes the safeties worry about the deep ball. Right now, they don't have that.
And also, John, when you look at Arian Foster doing his thing after getting that big offseason contract, although his yards per carry is slightly down, you also have Ben Tate, who's a very solid second running back. That breakdown, as far as bulk of the carries, obviously it leans heavy towards Foster, but Tate's still involved, and the Ravens have had such a hard time this year, unlike any of the last 13 or 14 years, stopping the run.
One of the things, Foster's average per carry of 3.8 is the worst of the top 15 rushers, and one of the reasons is this: they have a new right side of their offensive line. They thought that a veteran guard, Antoine Caldwell, and a veteran tackle, Rashad Butler, would be the guys, both in the last year of their contracts, both with a chance to make a lot of money. Butler down for the season. Caldwell's coming off a concussion. He's had another injury. So the right guard is Ben Jones, a rookie fourth-round pick from Georgia who played nothing but center at Georgia. So they taught him a new position. Their right tackle is a kid named Derek Newton, who was a seventh-round pick last year and didn't play. So these guys are experiencing growing pains, and they're rotating four guys. And you guys know if you're rotating four, it's because you don't have two good ones. So those guys are struggling, not so much on pass protection as they are run blocking, because teams' defenses know they're going to run to the left. So that's one reason Foster's down. He also only has one gain of 40-plus yards. You know, that's how you get your average per carry up is big plays. He hasn't had that yet. And he also has not been incorporated into the passing game the way he always has been. Last year, Foster averaged 11.6 yards a catch. That's pretty damn good. You know, Ray Rice is averaging 9.7. So both of those two running backs are really good at catching, but Ray is being utilized much more than Foster is. The only good thing about the Green Bay blowout is Foster didn't get 26 carries. He'd been averaging 26 carries, and that translates into an NFL record, 422, and that's way too much. Tate's had a toe injury. He's back. He's not 100%, but the coaches are sure hoping he can touch the ball 10 to 12 times and take some of that workload off Foster.
Great insight from John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. John, we really do appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, guys. Thank you very much.
And we're very excited for the Houston Astros to come to the American League.